Succession, number 28752, Reel 1.
Henry Charles Boreham, Reel 1. Harry, can you tell me where and when you were born?
I was born in Camden Town in London on the 21st of May, 1912.
Right? Fine. And were you educated there?
I was educated first at Hawley Crescent School, then I went to Haverstock Secondary School. I left school at 16.
And can you tell me something about your family or what your father did?
My father was a professional singer in his younger days. He had a fine tenor voice. And he was a member of a troupe called the Regional White Coons. And they disbanded, but he kept on as a solo singer at clubs, social events. And I remember my earliest memory of singing all the Victorian ballads.
Can you remember any particular ones?
Yes, the Kashmiri love song from the four Indian love calls. Unsure, Because, Nirvana, Songs of Arabi. I would hear them all. And I used to sing them myself in a... I used to try.
Have you got a good voice?
I used to have. Not now.
Yes. And he was singing at, you sang various clubs. Were they mainly in London?
Oh, nearly always in London, yes. Yes. The social events. And I don't know, he did that. I don't know how long. He gradually faded away. He knew his voice was going. He worked for the St Pancras Borough Council as a clerk of works. And that's where he finished his days.
Did he? So he was a clerk of works for which?
St Pancras.
In any particular department?
Just generally, but in the war, he was in charge of devastation of the two bombers. When he finished his career, then he retired at 65 or 60, I don't know.
So he was in charge of...
Well, of a group. They called it an incident. When the V2s landed, it was all sort of pretty quarantine, and he was in charge of that fleet.
So he was in charge of the bomb damage, of getting...
Yeah,
oh, that was some job.
Yeah, he was. He was well thought of on the borough.
Mm.
But, he died fairly early, about 74, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
And you spent your whole childhood in Camden Town?
No, I didn't, actually. My first memories are in the army, because my father... I think what he must have done, Jonathan joined up in 1914, because he was married with his children.
Yes.
But his brother-in-law, as a regular soldier, he got lost a leg at Mons. And they went out together one night, and I think the army joined up. And my first memories are of soldiers. He was stationed at some Shirley in Surrey, which was then a village. Now, of course, it's just a suburb. And I remember, I suppose it was about three, just soldiers, And I grew up down there throughout the war.
So those were your earliest memories in Shirley?
Yes, soldiers. Mm. And I was always interested, right from the... Well, all the stuff I remember, I was interested in the army. All my pocket money went in, toy soldiers. And when I began to read, I bought all the army books.
Yeah, still so are.
I always intended to go in the army, and I did eventually.
Yes.
But I joined the cadet corps when I was 14, and I stayed with them. Sure, the war started.
Was that at school?
No, it was a battalion of the Royal Fusiliers in Hampstead. And they were very, very good. They had all good officers and men.
Yes.
And
how often did you train with them?
Well, twice a week.
And where was that?
That was in Pond Street in Hampstead.
Yeah.
And it's still there.
Yeah.
Called the Harvard Armory.
Yes.
They were very good. All the officers had plenty of money, you see, and they used to, you know, buy the best equipment. They used to pay for the instructors. We used to go abroad for camp. We went to Boulogne in 26, Ostend in 29, and Ostend again in 1938. So it was very, very good. Yep. So I had a good grounding in the army.
Yes. And can you tell me something a bit about what your training involved as a cadet?
Well, everything to do with the army. Marking, map reading, compass reading, all the weapons at that the time.
Yeah, can you remember what you were using then?
Well, we had the Mark 1 rifle. Sorry, the number 1 rifle. Lewis guns. No Sten gun. No Sten gun in those days.
No.
All the army issue map maps. And that was it, you know, we were just on few days out on Sunday to Hell Street, out in the country then. And I loved it, you know, and I always intended to join the army. And when I was about 19, I went down to other chaps called Jimmy Riley and Teddy Morris, all about my age. And we all went down to join the army in Whitehall. And I said to these fellows, now, whatever you do, don't join the infantry. That's the bottom. I said, stick out for the service corps or the ordnance corps. And they'll try to kick their joint infantry, but don't do it. So we all marched down. And we went in. After the first one in, I was too small and too light. So they cut me out.
How old were you? No, you were 19.
About 19 then. I was in work, but I was bored, you see. And I was meant to go in the army anyway. But the other two went in, and I waited for them when they came up. And I said, they got all retaken. We joined, but we're not going to the infantry, we're going to the beds and hearts. That's a 16th of foot, the infantry. So, anyway,
and they hadn't understood.
Off they went, and Jimmy Riley stuck it. I know he went to India in 1933, but Teddy Morris went on the run. He became a big gun boxer. So that's my first effort. Mm.
Could you go back a little bit? When you were, so you had joined, you had experience of the army when you were very small.
Well, that's why I live in there. Yes. Talking to the soldiers, you know.
Yes.
And I went to the village school and met.
So how long was that for?
Well, up to about, from about 1915, I think, to 18.
Right. And then you came back?
The army, came back to Camden Town. We still owned or didn't have the house anyway. But I started. I went to the village school first, and then I went to my local school, Hawley Crescent, in Camden Town.
And then you went on to Haverstock Hill. Mm. So were your friends that you joined up with, were they friends from school or from work?
One chap was, and at least two, no, they were local boys. But I met a friend at the new school, Haverstock, chap Edwin Davis. And he was my lifelong friend, and he died. And we joined the cadet together. We served together, and then we both joined the Rough Riders together. That was my regiment.
Yeah, yeah. So and you went. So your army career was.
Well, from 1914 really. Yeah. You know, from 1924 when I was 26 when I joined the cadets. But I was always. I mean, all my money went on to soldiers. I was to haunt the museums.
Did you? So which ones?
The Royal Museum. Was to sit out and walk there, walk back.
Did you? Yeah.
And that was it.
And what were your ambitions early on when you thought about being in the army? What did you see yourself doing?
I didn't ever really... to go as high as I could, you know. The promotion in those days was very, very slow. I thought if I made sergeant, I'd do well, but actually I was commissioned eventually, but let's do the war. And, this chap, Eddie Davis, he joined the City of London Yeomanry, the Rough Riders.
Yeah.
And talk all about it, you see. But I wasn't going to join them. I was going to join the sharpshooters, my local regiment in Brazil.
Yes.
I went down there one night to watching their drills, you know. And they mobilised on the spot. This was in September 38. I went down with them and they grabbed him and said, "Runner, go back, get your kit. We mobilised after the Munich crisis." So I did a naughty thing. It was very naughty, and I joined up on the spot.
Why was that naughty?
I told my son not to join up. But he was a good bloke, you know.
So what were you doing at this time? You'd left school at
16. Oh, yes, I had several jobs, nothing very exciting. Mm. And that time I was working in Covent Garden, which was a fairly good job. The pay was good for the day, but it's long hours and there's no future in it, you know.
No.
It's a one-man firm.
Was it? Yes.
So,
was that in the market trade?
Yes, right in the market. We supply all the big clubs and the hotels. And my job was to go around and sweet talk all the chefs, you know, did one of my jobs. And drop the odd fire.
In order to get them to buy your
firm's
festival, yes.
Well, it's an interesting job, you know, but there's no future in it.
No. Can you remember any of the hotels you went round or any restaurants?
Oh, yes, the Russell. We did a lot of work for the clubs. We did in Glyndebourne, the Oakland Cambridge Club, the Reform Club, the Conservative Club, and Prunier's, the fish restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
They're good customers, but we had to fight hard to keep them. But that's all part of life. So I was a bit adapted. When I joined the army, I was well versed, you know.
You had quite an experience.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. And I had a job at a little motor car firm, a sort of park manager, but that didn't last long. So I was a bit of experience all the way.
Yeah.
So when I joined the army, I was off for a flying start, because when the war really started. Because all the chaps that I joined out of, they're all civvies. And nearly all in the banks and stock exchange, all from the city. So on Wednesday afternoon and on the 23rd of August, they're at their desk. And on Thursday or the 24th, they're in the army.
So can you tell me a little bit about how you joined up? You said that you were...
Well, I joined in the Yeomanry.
Yes.
It was the territorial unit.
Why were they called the Rough Riders?
They were cavalry in the First War, and they got permission to use the name of the Rough Riders, of the Americans, the real Rough Riders. Have you heard of them? No, they were an irregular cavalry unit, and they got their name in the USA-Spanish War in 1900. They were irregular cavalry, and they called themselves the Rough Riders, and we got permission to use it. It's not a nickname, it's our secondary title. And that's the full dress uniform.
Mm.
So they're very well select.
Yes.
They were. Yeah.
So you felt proud of that?
I was, yeah. Okay. I think it was the best trick in the army. Mm. Well, of course, they were very good. They're all gentlemen.
Yeah. So you went down with your friend and he joined...
He
was already in it.
And they mobilised him on the spot.
Right.
Of the crisis.
And...
I drove him back to his house, picked up his kit and drove him back. And went in and joined up. So I was in.
And had he been living at home until now?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And what did your parents think of it?
They knew it would come. No, not. They knew it would come eventually. And then we knew the war was coming. I'd have been called up anyway. Mm. So I really just got into it, you know. But I was going to join the sharpshooters from my local regiment, because I was in the Ruffs, and I was in the Ruffs till I was commissioned.
So can you tell me where your first memories of what was happening to you when you joined up?
Well, when we first joined up, we carried on at work. After the Munich crisis was over, we were demobilised. And I went back and told my governor, and he's all right about it. I carried on until the war actually started. And then we knew it was coming, and on the 24th of August, we mobilised for war, and that was it. Off we went.
Mm. So where did you go?
Well, we went to a place called Mucking Light on the Thames. It's in the middle of a big oil complex, Thameshaven. And we had guns, those so-called guns, to defend this. it was a joke, really. This country was we shouldn't have gone to war. It's the truth. We had in the 1938 mobilisation, we had a £2 gun dated from 1916. And we knew nothing about it. And they stuck us in this field with two tents. And they said, right, this is it. This happened through. And, we just stuck the gun in. We didn't get any rations. We should go to the local pub, buy sandwiches and bottles of rum. And when I tell people, they don't believe it. It's absolutely true. And so, of course, after when it just died down, we all did buy and come home, see. But in the 39 mobilisation, we had a three-inch gun. It's a bit better. It's dated 1970. And we fired it once at the Shubinev. And it was a joke. None of these chaps knew anything about the army. And when they had a sergeant, George Johnson, and he said, we had one rifle and 5 rounds of ammunition. And he gave me the rifle. He said, you're a guard, Harry. I said, what are the orders? He said, well, what do you mean, what's the orders? I said, oh, I've got a rifle, what do I do? He said, you're shunning them. So, yeah, well, don't tell you how to answer. You're right, I don't know. Fire a shot in the air. anyway, we stayed there till about April. But
did you have any communications?
We had a telephone line to battery quarters. And once a day, the troop commander came down to see if we were still living, you see. And our troop commander was Sir Charles Shopra, who later became Lord Shopra, a lovely man. And how it happened, we were at camp in August of 39, which was lovely. We fired the Vosges gun, which is a real gun, and did all full training. One Thursday afternoon, towards the end of camp, they found some rifles, about 30 rifles. And we got us all in a semicircle, being drilled by a very young Lance Bombardier. And it was awful. We had no idea, you know. And I was in the back row, because I know I'll show you. And I was going through the motions, and I felt a tap on my shoulder, and it was Charles Shapra. He said, you look very interested. I said, well, I'm not. No, I was polite about it. I said, no, it's not very interesting. He said, well, can you do any better? I said, well, I think I could. He said, so he said, right, out you go. So I thought, here goes. Nothing to lose. We're packing up on Sunday. So I've really got the old Sergeant Major stuff, real cool, you know. And I got the drilling, you see. So at the end of the day, at the end of the session, I dismissed her. And we're going off. He said, what is your name? I told her, what gun I bore him, what troop you in, what gun. And that was it. So about 3 days or 4 days after we mobilised, to Charles Shapra with his little car. He said, you're going to join my troop now. So that was it. Of course, the word got round, and I started right away and struck him. He couldn't get away from it.
Right.
And I went round all the guns.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing then? You were instructing. Who were you instructing? You know, what did you take them through?
I just instructing my own comrades, because they'd never done it before, you see. We were still doing sword drill in 1939.
Sword drill?
Sword drill, yeah. This is absolutely true. You know. And I couldn't believe my eyes. It's
That's incredible.
About a fortnight before the war started, I was doing sword drill. And I used to march in cavalry fours, which is everybody missed. But I knew all the latest drills. See, I wasn't very clever, but I just knew the drills. All the latest drills in threes. Mm. And I was a good shot. Mm.
So what sort of, can you tell me some details of the drills that they would, when they started off first day, what would you...
Foot drill. Probably just all the left and right turn and marking. That was the basic. Then I started doing rifle drill. And then after about a month, we got a Lewis gun to mature.
Sorry?
You know, First World War Lewis gun. You've heard of those. But it was still in Greece from 1918. So I decreased it with petrol, and I started giving little lessons in the British gun, you see, very informal. That's how I was trying to, not only, I was certainly giving my normal duties as a commandeer and a sergeant, but most of the time I was told away to instruct other batteries, as you get known.
So where were you based at this time?
This time at Thames Haven in Essex. But then we started our move to all over the country.
Mm. And how many men would you be instructing at once?
A gun team was about 10. And you get them all around instructing them with guns. And then when we... I can't explain it, really. It's also casual, you know.
And how did you move round? You said you were moved... You were based at...
We were based at... at this stage, Thames Haven, and the guns were all round here, so I used to go around on a motorcycle. That's how I...
Right. Mm-hmm. And how often, I mean, were you doing this, you said you had your other duties as well.
Yes.
So you were doing this every day the morning?
No, just probably once a week, I go and do number one gun.
Yes.
And then some else, and then when we got mobilised as a battery, I used to take the whole troop and sometimes the battery in drill, although I was only a sergeant. Mm. Mm. It's hard to say. It seems I'm boasting. I wasn't really boasting. I knew it because I had it, you see, and all these lads come straight from the industry.
Well, because you've been a cadet. So
been a cadet, and I had it drummed in, you see.
Yeah.
I thought, 13 years of it.
Yes.
And it was second nature to me.
Yeah.
And I used to frighten the life out of me. They'd go on guard with a loaded rifle. And I said, God, cut that shit. Nobody got killed. But they're lovely fellas, you know.
How long were you doing that? How long were you based at Thames Haven?
From August till April 39. April 40. We mobilised to go abroad. We went to a place, went to Clacton, and the whole battery was there, and the idea was going to have final training, and then we're going to France. And that was planned. But while we were there, the balloon went up in France, and instead of that, we went to another war station. We went to an aerodrome at Martlesham, where we had both of us gotten in.
That's in Suffolk, is it?
In Norfolk, on the Norfolk coast. Big air base. Then we stayed there about a week. Then we made our way to go to France. And by the time we got to the...
So how are you getting to France?
No, we never got there. It's Dunkirk. So we stayed, we had part of Montgomery's special force, you know, anti-invasion force. And we stayed there till about mid of May. We went to Changi Aerodrome. Where we went there through the Blitz.
So what were you doing during that time, period?
Well, that time I was a sergeant, and in charge of a gun, number one gun of left troop. And actually, so I felt first re-election, but when they blitzed Tangier, we shot down our first plane.
And which, so what date was this?
This was about August 1940. Yeah. And then we started the round. We started on the move right away, all the time.
So can you just go back to your duties during the blitz? What sort of things were you dealing with?
Well, the both of guns, the Nathead gun, the Lathead gun, and that was our main duty. And we had four guns which surrounded the aerodrome, and we took on all low-flying aircraft, see? And also, if it came to anti-tank, because we could fire anti-tank shells.
So that was what you were prepared. So you were using the Bofors gun
for
anti-tank.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Before, I say we shot down, definitely one. We saw it come down, maybe we shot a couple others when it got blitzed.
Can you remember anything of that occasion?
Oh, yes. I was blitzing the gun. It was my gun.
And how many were on the gun with you?
14 is six. I was number one. Number two is a elevation layer. Number three is a lateral layer. Five and six ammunition carriers. They keep us supplied. Number four is a loader. He stands on the gun and loads it, which is 120 rounds a minute, so it's non-stop.
Right.
And that was it.
And how did you get the signal? I mean, who's on the? Who was the? Was that part of your duties?
Well, you're saying too, you got the early warning.
From whom?
Well, from the aerodrome. But we're standing by all the time during the blitz time, so it didn't matter. And then as the planes came over, if you could engage them, you did.
Yeah. And was it a single plane or was it?
Oh, this time, no, it's a flight of Trooper 109s. And they really busted the place up.
Did they?
Mm. That's a.
How many can you remember?
Well,
Can you know?
You mind freezing. All you think about is what you need a job, you know.
And how many guns were there?
In my troop, four.
Yes.
But there was also a battery of 3-inch guns on the outer circle, you know, for high flying aircraft.
Yeah. So there were seven altogether for that particular hangar.
Well, eight.
Eight, yeah.
But depending on what the target was, you know, I mean, one time we had a whole battery depending places, depending what the emergency was. Normally it was troop of four. That was four guns.
And can you tell me something about the early warning? How much detail were they able to give you?
Well, You had in the RAF crossing stations, you had an army officer, and they used to phone direct through to a battery. You got a prior warning, and then you got the imminent coming, and then we pick up the, you know, you see them.
Were they able to tell you how many?
No, just
they just knew something was coming over.
During that period of the year, we always manned the guns anyway, with three.
Yes.
So we always went to action, necessary.
Yes.
But when we got the stand to, we all went here, and we just stayed there.
So they knew something was coming over, they didn't know how many.
Stand to.
And they didn't know, could they tell you approximately the time?
No, that
they would be there.
But it didn't really matter to us, because we were there anyway.
Yeah.
And that was all they did. Not good days, exciting days. Yes, and
And you were there for how long?
About September, I think. We went to a place called I was called again to instruct. We had an intake of recruits. And we went back to RHQ, that's the recruitment headquarters, in South Field in Essex, an old country mansion. And we've got 300 recruits right from Zibby Street. Each battery got 100, and each troop got about 30. And I had my troop at 30 to drill. All basic stuff. That was there for 3 weeks. And they went joined the Cams, and I went direct to my own gang. But this time I played called Wittering.